The rest of the story. Wasn't anybody in town who knew the music business better than Merlin Littlefield. As associate director of ASCAP, he had seen the best and the rest come and go, and it was getting so that he could tell on sight which was which. Then one day this boy walks into Merlin Littlefield's office and says, "I want to be a songwriter." Now old Merlin just looks at this fella, can't be any more than 22, maybe 23. "What's your name?" "Troy," the boy answers. Merlin asks, "What have you done?" Well, the fact was, he hadn't done much. High school, college, nothing in the music business, really. Oh, he'd made a demo recording at a little hometown recording studio. Sounded pretty good, he thought, but what he was best at was writing songs. Music sort of ran in his family, he supposed, at least insofar as his mother had once sung professionally. It was she who had given Troy his first musical instrument, a banjo, which he taught himself to play. Well, meanwhile, Merlin Littlefield is muttering to himself, "Oh my, another songwriter, just what the world needed," and there was something else it did not need, one more broken heart. So for once, Merlin decided to stick his nose in where it probably did not belong. He told the eager young man, he told him the rest of the story. He said, "Son, you've got two choices. You can stay here in the big city and starve as a songwriter. Or if you like, you can become a singer in a band and starve with eight other people." Troy remained unconvinced. Before either could say more, the phone rang on Merlin's desk. The executive listened a moment and then said, "Send him right in." And then he turned to Troy and said, "This is your lucky day. You're about to meet one of the greatest songwriters in the whole city." And moments later, the songwriter is standing there, but he seems ill at ease in his success. In fact, he looks downright worried. And then he places a hand on Merlin's shoulder and confides that he's having trouble paying off a $500 loan. And they talk a little more, and the songwriter leaves. And Troy, the boy, is incredulous. It was a joke, right, about the money? I mean, nobody who's made it in the business had to worry about $500. Merlin, his eyes cold, looks back at the boy and said, "Son, that's really how it is. I'll bet you could make that in a week back home." Well, the truth hurt. But hurting made it no less true. It had been a nice dream while it lasted, writing songs for famous singers to sing, but there comes a time when one either grows up or else, and given the alternatives, Troy chose to grow up. He returned home and he went back to school. He enrolled in a master's degree program. Deep down inside, he never stopped hating Merlin Littlefield for all of that tough talk, and he never stopped loving him for pulling him back from the brink of certain disappointment. For if Merlin could discourage you, the young man reasoned, if Merlin could discourage you, then the rugged, uncompromising music business itself would probably kill you. By the way, the 23-year-old Oklahoma boy revisited Nashville one day, but this time he had waited until nobody could dissuade him, no matter what they said, and nobody did. And you know Troy, who's real first name is Troyal, T-R-O-Y-A-L. You know him by his other two names, Garth Brooks. Only now you know the rest of the story. Now you know the rest of the story.